Welcome back to the second part of Autumn Lachlan's podcast. This is Whole Home, and I am Laura Letario. If you have been listening for a while, you know what's next. Game time. You ready?
Oh, wait. I should tell you. favorite question, I'm notoriously bad at favorite questions.
Uh-oh.
Really bad at them.
Okay, well, hopefully this works out. Okay, well, if you're bad at that, I'm super bad at thinking of a game to play. But this one popped into my head just for you, called Mama Knows Best. And I actually contacted your mom.
Oh, no.
She asked me
some questions. Oh, no.
No.
She asked me some questions yesterday. And I was like, why do you need this?
Okay. So what she did was she did to get it. But she took pictures around your home or of things that just made her think of you or screamed Autumn. So I'm going to give you my phone and you go through this little series and say why your mom picked these things to express you. I mean,
that's so cute.
So she did her best. I don't think she rummaged through your stuff or anything like that.
No. So yeah.
Anyway, here you go. Here's number one. Tell us what you see and why your mom picked it.
How did she even get these photos?
I don't know. I'm glad she did that.
Okay, so the first picture is a collection of all my plants.
Yeah.
Because I love plants. I collect them. I'm trying to get better at collecting them, and I have a ton of them. I'm trying to grow my collection, but that's the first one.
Yeah.
All my plants.
So. About how many are in that image?
Oh, goodness.
There's a lot in there.
Close to 15? A little under 15?
In one image, yeah.
Yep. Which, that's most of them, but... Okay.
Yeah.
Have a few extras.
Yeah. Okay, number two.
Oh my word. Okay, so it's a picture of Totoro from My Neighbor Totoro, which is a Studio Ghibli film. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of Studio Ghibli. I just love Miyazaki, who's the director. I think he's fantastic. And I think his stories and how he kind of creates different plots, and then his characters and how he distinguishes between girls and boys. I just think he does a really good job. So
okay.
I really love the movies. I'm a big fan of them. So I'm not like a crazy fan where I collect all the stuff. I just really appreciate the movies. So
and you have a keychain.
I do have a keychain that my brother got me. Oh, okay. Christmas. Oh, that's so on. That's sweet. Christmas decorations. And specifically, it's our... Oh, goodness. Okay, so I'll tell you. So for Christmas, we have this tradition where we have a set of china that we only bring out for Christmas breakfast. And we always have cinnamon rolls and then biscuits and gravy and like orange juice and coffee. And so we have like these teacups, and I bought our teapot that completed the set. And yeah, it's just something that I think is really special. And I found her that teapot for her whole collection. And we love that aspect of Christmas where we have a certain china set just for that. It's a very sweet breakfast where we...
Yeah. Who makes it?
My mom makes it. But it's a time that I really love. It's just something, one of my favorite times of the year. Because, you know, we take a moment before diving into gifts where we highlight what is this about. And it's about the Lord. And we read through Jesus' birth story. And yeah. So it's just a sweet time that I really love.
Awesome.
So she took a picture, or she asked me for this picture, actually, because I was like, what do you need that for?
Yeah.
And it's a picture of me holding some of the kids that I've babysat for.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah. So they're not the kids that I regularly watch, but they're some of the kids that I've babysat for in previous times. I guess maybe she's saying when she thinks of, you know, these kids or babysitting, she thinks of me because that's, you know, my job, like a nanny.
Caring for others.
That's sweet. She did go through my room.
Oh, she did? Okay.
So off of my room.
Thank you,
I have
Adrian.
All my earrings hanging up on my wall. And I love funky earrings.
Okay.
I just love them. I love fun, silly earrings. I have like fruits. I have flowers. I have mushrooms. I have everything. And I like collecting them. Like it's something I'm ongoing. I just like collecting silly earrings. So
very fun.
I guess she thinks of that. This is a picture of my hobby cart. It's where I put...
Can I see it? What is it?
So it's a cart that I put all of my hobby stuff on. It has like watercolor, and I have beads and all sorts of things on it. I just put all my stuff for my hobbies on it because I love crafting.
Is that in your room too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love crafting and I don't know. I have a lot of little hobbies. So
it's out because you do it often enough.
It's something I do in my spare time. If I have free time, I like to spend it, you know. So I did last night. I did some little crafts here and there. It's just nice. I like it. Oh, my china set. I love teacups. I love china. I love like fun teacups and china and silver, whatever it is. And I've been collecting it recently for the tea party, but also I just love it in general. So it's something that I want to incorporate into my spaces.
Do you have a favorite set that you acquired?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. There's been a lot recently. I'll say this one just because someone gave it to me, so it's more personal to me. Mm-hmm. I'm a very sentimental person. I like the personal stuff. But someone saw it at an estate sale, and they thought of me. I don't know this lady particularly, like, very well. Mm-hmm. But I know her. It's just I haven't had a lot of conversations. But she saw the set, and she thought of me and was like, oh, she would really like this. And I just thought it was sweet that she saw this set at, like, an estate sale. I was like, oh, Autumn would like this. And this is really pretty. It's in the picture. It's in the background. It's that blue. It's a blue and white set.
That's lovely.
And I think it's just really sweet that she thought of me. Let me think. She has books, because I have a lot of books in my room.
Those are your books?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's more.
I didn't know if it was just like books in general. Or.
Well, they're my books. She's probably thinking books in general. I like to read a lot. I don't do it as much as I used to just because time, but I do a lot of audiobooks. So reading. So a journal. I love to journal. I love scrapbooks. And I have a ton of them.
Wow.
Where I call it junk journaling. I kind of just, I take anything from events, or like if it's a concert ticket or a receipt or a little piece of a bag or a piece of a logo or something. Like I just take it.
You save stuff. Wow.
I save it and then I put it in a book and like I make collages of it. Wow. And then I'll like write things next to it, or I'll draw little designs or something.
Cool.
I just, yeah, it's really fun. So
how many do you, at what age did you start, I guess I want to ask?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, I've had a journal forever. I mean, I did it when I was really young, but this scrapbooking, probably the past 5 years.
Okay.
Been more into scrapbooking where it's, but I don't like just putting pictures in a book and then writing on the picture. I like making it a whole collage of things, so like a picture of someone and then what we did together. Like, it could be anything. I just like, you know, you dried flowers, dried plants, like anything.
Yeah.
Just make it look really cool.
Fun.
I like that stuff. Yeah.
I don't know if there's any more.
I think Yay.
I told her like 6 to 8. I didn't know how. That's I didn't want funny. Her to get too into your stuff.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wait,
no,
what's that thing?
That was
that's,
the book.
That's the journal.
That's one of them.
It's got
I don't know where she found that one. She pulled out a random one. That's funny.
She was sneaky. That's fun. All right. Now, this game is the rapid fire round where you get pretty much the same string of questions that, you know, I ask every lady. So you get 5 minutes to do it. Do your best. Talk fast if you can. Okay. First question. What's your favorite chore?
Oh.
It could be none.
I don't know. Cleaning and organizing.
Okay. I like to organize. That counts. Totally, totally. If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
Maybe probably a stuff for a home. If I had a house, probably stuff for a home. If not, I don't know. Collectible stuff.
Do you know how to play chess?
I do. I'm not very good, though.
What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
If you ever try to learn an instrument or anything, it's very hard.
Oh, okay.
What have you tried? I don't know. I was like, because I've tried multiple times. I'm like, this is very hard. Not as hard as I thought it would be. But.
Did you take lessons or try to self-teach?
Self-teaching.
Okay.
It's hard.
Have you gone on a vacation this year or are you going on one?
We went to the beach earlier for just like a little weekend or a few days. I went up and with my family. That was one of it. Yeah.
What is your favorite season?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I like all of them.
That's cheating.
Well, fall is nice, not because of my name. Fall, I don't know.
That's funny.
It's nice, but I like a lot. I appreciate them for different reasons.
What was a recent problem that you solved?
Oh gosh, that's a hard question. I don't know. Maybe something with like helping someone at work. I don't know.
Okay. What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
I mean, probably my like little nook in my room where I can read and craft. I don't know. It's nice.
Do you collect anything besides teacups?
A lot of things. A lot of crafting stuff, little knickknacks. I just, I'm keychains.
And earrings.
And earrings and keychains. There's a lot of things. I like collecting a lot of things.
Do you make your bed every day?
Not every day. I used to be in the habit of that. I need to get back into it.
What are you reading?
Right now, there's this book about Genesis times. I forgot the name of it, but it kind of talks about giants during that time. I'm in the middle of that. And then I started a book for my brother's Boys of Blur to read in the car, listen in the car with them.
Yeah, fun. Okay, if you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
I don't know. Probably something related to women and something helpful for, spiritually helpful or just figuring some, I don't know, something specifically related to like women's struggles and something. I don't know.
Very good, very good.
Very big.
What's your middle name?
Noelle.
Okay. What is your favorite cookie?
That's terrible. I love a lot of different cookies.
Same.
Right now, I could go for like a good chocolate chip cookie with like sea salt.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
There's a lot. I'll just say, because again, favorites are hard. Recently, it's been in Hebrews.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I do. I love podcasts. I listened to a few today.
To a few? Yeah. What's one of the ones you listen to?
I listened to Help, Help, We're Being Repressed, on Canon Plus, and they were going over movies, and it was interesting.
My daughter likes that too.
It's fantastic.
What is a fun recipe you've tried?
That's hard. I made a lot of different recipes. A fun one. I made some like cupcakes a few months ago that were like apple. They looked like apples and they were apple flavored, and I dyed it red and I made them look like apple, like, you know. It was fun. That was a fun one.
That is really, really fun. Okay. Are you like working on any projects in your house? Home edit projects?
Oh, not that I don't think so right now.
Okay. Is there, you said you sing, is there certain songs you go back to all the time?
Hymns. I really love singing hymns. They're ones that those are good ones.
Can you parallel park?
I can, but don't watch me because it takes a minute.
I get it. What was a prayer you prayed today?
That God would give me wisdom and help me to speak clearly. Preparation for here.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. There's so many things. because I love to cook. I'd probably, something related to cooking. Yeah. Just to have natural knowledge where you can just do it. Would be nice.
Is my time up?
Oh, it is.
I see a grain. What's your favorite smell?
It's too many. Right now, I really
okay,
love.
You said no favorite.
I'm terrible.
What is favorites. A pleasing smell to you?
It's the same question. right now, there's this candle I have that's like a pumpkin muffin smell, but it's just fall in a candle. So that's what I've loved right now.
I love it. Okay. Very good. Okay. Let's move to your garden. This is where God has planted you at this very specific time in October 2025. First, you kind of already said, but just say again, where do you live?
I live in Colonial Heights. It's kind of 30 minutes south of Richmond.
And what neighborhood do you live in? How long have you lived there?
I don't know what the neighborhood is specifically called, but we've lived there probably going on 6-7 years at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's in your household?
Me, my mom and dad, and then my three younger brothers, Seth, Jack, and Nathan.
How long have you been coming to Remnant?
About the same time. We moved maybe 5-6 years. Yeah. We kind of moved around the time that we started coming, a little before it.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe, about that time.
And then you said you were in the Rimmers group. Who invited you to that group? Because you said it was newer that you were there. Like, how did you end up there?
Yeah, past like year. I'm good friends with the Hargers, and they go to that group. And so I was checking out new groups. And I was like, hey, I like them. They're kind people. I want to see what group they go to. And so I just kind of went out to theirs. And
so it was an easy choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I mean, it is 45 minutes from my house. I know. It's a drive.
Oh, my goodness.
I love the people. We have, the discussions are always fantastic. John Rimmer does a fantastic job of leading them. It's always fun.
Is that why you're reading the book you're reading? Is it John?
No. Okay. It sounds weird. I've always been interested in that stuff. And something about it, again, I'm like maybe halfway through, a little less than that. I still have a while to go. I just, it's something that's really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I want to know more about it.
Now, yeah, moving to your garden. The first section is the planning section. So these are desires or dreams that you have. Please share.
Yeah, so I've kind of had this, there's been one dream that I've had my whole life, and that's always been that I'd be a wife and a mother. That's just something that I've always wanted. You know, I see so many faithful women around me day in and day out and how they raise their families and what they do with their life. I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do. I've never had anything, I don't know, I've never had a dream like I have with that. But yeah, I mean, specifically, it's just what I want my legacy to be. Like, I want my whole life to be in that work of like giving myself up for my family and raising them faithfully so that like maybe I can, I mean, obviously my parents started with me, but
right.
I can be one of the people that furthers, hopefully, Lord willing, generations of faithful believers where, you know, just that would be beautiful to have that. And if I can pour my whole life into that and, you know, that's the outcome, that'd be amazing. If the Lord used me for that, that would be wonderful. So
yeah.
That's my main dream.
You said always, like, there's planning and then there's like capital P planning. Like,
yeah.
Which one is this?
Oh, like capital P. Like
capital P.
This is like the main thing in life.
Yeah.
That's why it's one of the reasons I haven't had like a college thing, because I feel like I've always had this. I want kids. I want a family. That's just something I've always loved and wanted so much. I've been very passionate about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I noted there's a character in The Great Divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Sarah Smith. I remember reading that and I was like, oh, I want to be that. I want to be that lady. Because she was just someone who made everyone feel like, you know, loved and like they were her child. And it talks about that in the book. And, you know, that goes on the second part. Even, you know, because, you know, marriage and children, that's something that is in the Lord's timing. I can't control that.
Right.
So I know that those are his plans. If that's his will for my life, it will happen. But if it's not, my other dream is just that, you know, I'll be a blessing in my community, that I can be someone who loves those around me and serves them well.
Yeah.
And I see that in this character in this book. And I just, when I saw that, I was like, yeah. So even if I don't get married, I don't have kids, I still would love to be someone who can, you know, be a humble servant, kind of like we talked about, to my community. So
yeah. How has this matured over time? Since, again, you use that word always.
I mean, I guess maybe thinking more specifically how that would play out, like who I want, what type of mom I want to be, what I want to teach my kids about, what I would do, like, I guess more specific avenues of how that would play out. And I guess because I've put that so high in my life, I have to be careful of not idolizing it, where I make it my, this is all I can do with my life, this is anything. So when I give that second part, that's me also accepting maybe this doesn't happen. And if it doesn't, I still would love to be a blessing to my community. That's something I want to give my whole life to as well. So, and I can do that in and out of marriage. Wherever I am in my season of life, I can do that actively. So, yeah. So I guess maturing is also, for me, was realizing even if you don't have that, you can still bless those around you and love and, yeah, care for them.
Is this a desire that you see in other ladies in your friend circle, or do you feel like you kind of stand more alone in?
No, I see it a lot. All my close friends growing up had the same, where they all wanted to be moms and wives. I mean, some of them had other passions where they went to college for different things, but I've seen it a lot in young women around my age. It's just something that's very prevalent. I feel like it's more than not, that's a lot of young women. Like, they would love to do that and serve in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the difference might be possibly them having mothers that are actually even, and fathers that are saying, this is a viable thing for your future.
Yeah.
Where some kids, like, don't even have a conception, like, oh, yeah, motherhood should be something that I say what I want to be when I grow up or something.
No,
like that.
No, it's totally as a culture looked down upon. It's
something
that, I mean, I've been on a plane and I had someone say, you know, like, what do you want to do with your life or something? I told them and they're like, oh, you don't need to do that. Go live your life and travel the world. Why would you want to do that? You have time for that later in life. And I've had this like same conversation happen so many times throughout my life because it's something that is not valued in our culture. It's something that is looked down upon now, where it's like, oh, why would you do that? Like the action of giving your whole self up and living your life serving others and loving others is like, oh no, live for yourself.
Yeah.
And so I see that everywhere. So it's kind of a very uncommon thing, especially at our, you know, so young to want that.
Even for my son though, Ryan and I are constantly just assuming that it will be, just assuming like when you're a father, you'll be a father, so that he even has the language as a 10-year-old, even before, like, well, when I'm a dad or my wife someday, and, you know.
Right.
And it's, I just think putting that into your children's mindset at a young age is a very good thing.
Oh, yeah.
So
valuing it.
Yes, valuing it. Yeah. Just as a young woman, like, how do you react to that then when that person on the plane said that to you? Do you just give your perspective or do you just nod your head and go like, that's nice?
No, I mean, I try to walk the line. I don't want to be rude. I also understand, like, these people, the people I've talked to are not believers. They're seeing it from a worldly perspective. So you have to take that into consideration. So I've been like, well, this is something I'm very passionate about, something I believe that I'm called to. Like, I love it. I've always wanted it. And so I will respond in that way.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. And so there's just like a, all right, that's weird that you like that, but okay.
Yeah.
They still think I could want something better. But, you know, if I said that about anything else, like any, I really want to be a nurse, I really want to be a photographer, there would be no reaction like that.
Yeah.
There's just something about motherhood and wanting to be a mother that people are, they attack.
Do you have in your mind, like, here we go, okay, I'm going to say it, and I know,
I get a little nervous because I'm, but I don't know. Again, I'm so passionate about it. There's like a, I feel like there's a fire in me where I'm like, I'm still going to say it because I don't want this to become like, even if it is abnormal now, I'm not going to let it be like, oh, okay, you know, you have your opinion. I'm still going to say why I'm passionate about it. Like, I talk to people about it, not in a rude or condescending manner. Just, I don't know, maybe that's something that's surprising for them. Maybe that's something they take into consideration or think about later. Like,
definitely.
Oh, I met this girl and she really wants this. Why is that? Why does she want that? And then if I bring in scripture, I feel like it's a good opening to witness. And now I haven't had a lot of situations where I can fully witness and tell them about the Lord yet. You know, I've mentioned my faith in different things, but yeah. I would definitely be open to having those conversations.
So back to Sarah Smith. How many times have you read that book?
I read it once.
Once. And once, right away, stood out. She stood out to you.
It did. I read it in school. It was one of my favorite books I read in school. I remember a lot about it. And yeah, it's one of those characters in literature where you're like, oh, wow. Immediately I was like, that's the type of woman I'd want to be.
Okay. So you had another thing in your desire and dream category.
The humble servant one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just something. Because there's so many ways I can see myself serving in my community and, again, loving those around me. Where even if I don't have my dream of marriage and having children, I can still bless the people in my community with my talents, with my skills, with my time. Like, and, you know, you see people who, you know, when they don't have kids in the house anymore, like, you know, the Salty Sisters, they spend their time loving the church and they serve the church, and you see that in them. And so I'd like to, even if I can't have these things right now or I don't have them, I can still see myself using my life to serve in those ways and see how I can, because it's still something I can find meaning and purpose in, even if I don't have kids or husband.
Well, my interest was piqued when I read your answer to be a humble servant, to still be a blessing to my community, because I was thinking, like, when you said humble servant part in addition to being a blessing, it struck me that you were talking about not asserting yourself.
Yeah.
That, like, if you're going to do it humbly, you kind of have to pay attention to others instead of just like, here's the blessing. Her name is Autumn.
I'm here now. Right. Exactly.
You know, and just, I'm going to assume, not that it's even bad or we even do it over intentionally, but just like when you said humble, that really means like, I don't actually know what is necessarily always going to serve or what will always be a blessing, but here I am, kind of thing.
Right.
So that right. just was interesting that you paired those two ideas together to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something. Yeah. Just emphasis on it. Cause I don't want it to be. And again, I mean, I talked about this the other day with my parents, kind of just the desire when you're serving, it can very quickly become all glory to me. Look at mm-hmm. me serving. Look at how I am blessing those around me. Look at how, what I am doing. And our service is not about what we're doing and for people to look at us.
Yeah.
It is to glorify the Lord. And so if I'm going to be a servant, I want to be a humble servant, someone who is not making it all about myself, but making right. it, giving all glory to God. And I want to emphasize that because it's very easy to fall into the glorifying yourself in your actions and wanting everyone to recognize you and what you do. But I want to be someone who doesn't feel like I need that, you know, where right. I don't need people to acknowledge my service. I just can do it mm-hmm. and feel satisfied in doing it, that I did it well. And even if nobody else noticed that I did it.
Right. At yeah. the same time, though, you're expecting the Lord in this equation, because that's how actually he expects us all to be, desires right. us all to be. So you're talking about just obeying his will in general, for one.
Yeah.
And then right. you're expecting him to partner with him in his work, whatever it is that he shows you.
Right. Because you can do that in all seasons of life, no yeah. matter what circumstance you're in.
Yeah.
You can still be a humble servant where you're placed. So
right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, sewing is next. This is a section about faith, because these are new seeds in your life that you don't necessarily see like a form to how what you're turning your attention to is going to turn out to be like. But yeah, you have a seed of faith. So this is a section about new things in your life or some things that are at the beginning stages.
Yeah. I wrote down New City Academy, because I work as a teacher's assistant there.
How do you have time?
I made time, and oh, I love goodness. It so much. I would work there every day. I really like this work. I love the teaching aspect. Just wow. being a part of the classroom is so fun. I really enjoy it. So, no, it's been great.
Did you seek that out? Did it fall into your lap?
Kind of both. Okay. I mean, I had people, Jason kind of talked to me about it, like, you know, would you be interested in this? And then I kind of reached out a few times so that you're like, if you're still looking for someone, like, I really want to be a part of this. I want to help you guys out. If you're looking for a position, like, I'd love to fill it. And then that's kind of how it worked out.
Okay.
Which I was very thankful for. But yeah, with that, it comes all sorts of new things and situations, relationships and friendships. And don't know what will come of it, but I hope.
Are you working with young kids, older?
I work with first and second grade.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very fun. What is it like to be early in your adulthood making commitments to new relationships?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have a lot of friendships with people in a lot of different stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's older women, younger girls. Like, there's of all the ages, I feel like I have a lot of friendships with people. And so I don't know if I have thought about it.
Yeah.
Kind of just see where it goes and see. I like having conversations with people and, you know, encouraging them if I can, or if they can encourage me, like, I don't know, seeing where the Lord takes it.
To me, it speaks of responsibility, I guess. Mm. And yeah, I think a clear theme to me that emerged when reading over what you shared with me is just maturation in every aspect of your life. And then this just seems like, you know, to add new relationships in your life or commit to more. Yeah, it just seems like a step in responsibility, maturation.
Yeah.
All these things, obedience to God, to expend yourself and things like that.
Which I'm always trying to do that. So, I mean, if I feel like the Lord is leading me in a certain direction, or if I can love someone or have a new friendship with someone, I want to be able to do it. And I don't always do that well, mm-hmm. of course, because, you know, I'm an imperfect person and I fail a lot. So I try to be responsible, but yeah, I know that NCA is, it's something I can, it's a way I can bless the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that from the beginning. I was like, that's definitely a way I can be of service and love others. And I really enjoy work where that's the case. So I really wanted to be a part of it, to be able to serve in that way.
So you had mentioned a lot of young children as part of like jobs you've had. is this one different from those as far as like you are actually teaching rather than like guiding and caring, or because it's like asking something new of you?
I mean, I've taught before.
Okay.
Just not in, obviously I'm not the head teacher, so I don't teach all the lessons. I help a lot in classroom settings with homework, which is what I've done before with families I've babysat for or nannied or anything of the sort. Like I'll help them with their school, help my brothers with their school, things like that. So I'm not unfamiliar to it. And I've worked in a classroom setting before, or not classroom. Yeah, classroom.
Yeah.
I've worked in different settings before, not as, I guess, what's the word? This one's more, maybe prestigious is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But the other ones I've worked at, like co-ops, are not as put together, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked at like a camp where so I've been on the leading side of it a lot, where I lead groups of kids. I guess this one is different because there's a common convictions and beliefs.
Okay.
Where it's like, oh, I know a lot of the families. I know almost all the parents of the kids I watch, or I know a lot of the families of the kids in the school, and I know their beliefs and convictions, and we all go to Remnant.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of having that similar mindset and structure throughout the school is really helpful. And it is new because, you know, I know that everyone has that. So it's a nice like thing to fall onto, because I've worked in a lot of situations where I believe differently, or the kids come from families that are not saved, or different things like that, where you don't have that common thing with the parents and the kids. And that can, you know, there can be some hurdles with that.
Not that you could know, but if you could maybe shoot an arrow in a direction, what do you think God is doing here in you with this?
I mean, resilience comes to mind, because when you're doing a lot, when you're working with kids in general, it's hard because, you know, again, different challenges, different things you face when it comes to parenting styles and things. So I don't know, just resilience in the midst of challenges and hardship, because even if it's not hardship in the work, there can be other things in my life where, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of things, or I'm going through something maybe more internal.
Yeah.
And it's not the work I'm doing, but I'm struggling inside. But being put through hard work as I'm struggling inside is builds up that resilience and strength, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all I really think of right now.
That makes sense. Okay. And you've got another exciting thing you put in this category.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the past year, especially, something about witnessing and sharing the gospel keeps coming back up. Just in conversation, like, you know how the Lord puts something in your life and it's an ever reoccurring subject that keeps coming up? You're like, why does this keep coming up? You're like, this seems, and you know, I believe like providence, God works everything out, and like he puts things in your life for a reason. And so when I see something that keeps coming back up and reoccurring, I'm like, I think the Lord is trying to tell me something. You're like,
yeah.
And one of those is just the importance of witnessing. And of course that looks different. And I don't know how that'll look in my own life, what I can do. But I feel like there's this growing desire to implement that in my life. And, you know, that's why I talk about in the planning section, my dream of having a home and a legacy, like building a home where I can witness to people just through them coming in and seeing how, you know, I love my family and how I've built the home with my husband. Yeah, that's something I can, that's some one way I can see that playing out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just a desire that keeps building. Like, this is important because I see everywhere in scripture, like, we've been called to this. Mm-hmm. Every Christian has been called to this. And that's something we know is definite. Like we know we're all called to this. It's not a, maybe some of us are and some of us aren't. Like, we all are called to it.
Yeah.
And like, if we all are, then I know this is something I need to be implementing in my life. How do I do that?
Yeah.
And I don't know all the ways yet, but. Yeah.
So at this point, is it mostly prayer, or have you had actually a couple of like clear opportunities just thrown in your lap? Is that what you're referring to?
I think a lot of the opportunities aren't, this person was never saved and I'm telling them about the gospel. I think a lot of it's more a brother or sister struggling with something and they bring it up to me and like I can talk with them about it. There's a lot of that I see, but I don't have as many, I haven't seen a lot of, you know, someone who doesn't know anything about God kind of situations. Mm-hmm. Not saying those won't come up, but definitely more about personal brother, sister in Christ relationships and witnessing to them in that way, like being a like iron sharpening iron,
yeah,
kind of situations.
Well, that is an interesting thought of like how easily does the gospel just roll off of our lips? Is like,
yeah,
that's our go-to right. for counsel and encouragement. I remember, gosh, it could have been 3 years ago now, maybe to our community group. All the community groups read my personal favorite book on evangelism, Taking Men Alive. Okay. And our group practiced, the girls, the ladies did, like sharing the gospel with each other. And it's like so crazy of how your mind can go blank.
Yeah. Like in the moment, you're like, what do I do? Yes. Yeah.
And just the fact of like practicing, just like we ask our kids to do in school, really, yeah. is like you practice something. I was like, this was actually really helpful to just role play or just, yeah. you know, so it's not. Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, we kind of talked about that in community group one day, what like strategies you can have. And strategies, it's not like a, this is how you get everyone. It's just sometimes you'll have conversation where maybe you just relate to a person and that gets you to that conversation. Like, yeah. Again, when I talk about people I've shared conversations with on the plane, it started with a, hey, what are you doing here? Like, what were you here for? Like, oh, I was here to do this. This was fun. What were you here for? I was here to visit my grandchildren. I'm like, oh, you know, what did you do with your grandchildren? And you just get into a conversation where you can relate with someone. And honestly, sometimes that's a, I'm not going to say better way, but that's a good way if you're not used to just like street preaching style where you just go up to someone like, do you know about Jesus? Which is nothing wrong with that way. It's just, if you're still getting comfortable, sometimes it's just have a conversation with someone and then just have faith that the Lord will open up some type of topic where maybe you can bring that in.
Yeah.
That's normally my approach where I try to talk a little bit with someone and like see who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
one of my favorite things about that book is when he, it's Jim Wilson who wrote it, and he says that he learned that he has to sometimes just directly ask people.
Yeah.
Do you want to trust Christ instead of waiting for people to say, hey, I actually want to trust Christ now or whatever. That's and true. So even just the, I'm not even opposing what you're saying.
No, yeah, of course.
But even what you're, what I hear you saying is you want it to be like in your mind to go there to the gospel. And then that book struck me as like, have it in your mind to even just be aware of like, hey, I can just ask the question. And because maybe the person won't even give me a visible sign.
That's true.
That they are, that their inside is like going nuts and like pounding. And then if you just would step forward with that question. So that is something where my husband is definitely the one who gets into more evangelistic conversations.
But I'm
like, Lord, please prepare me to be bold and just like ask that question. That's kind of where I'm at in that personally. And a lot of, I've seen it through my kids. That's why my kids are upstairs right now watching the movie Case for Christ, because two of them specifically, it seems like God is doing that in their little lives. I don't mean little as in like unimportant, but just I guess younger lives, to the point where my husband was somewhere this past week and the man who he visited gave him a hat that said walk with Jesus, and it says I love Jesus on his hat. And Oliver was like, can I have this hat, Dad? He's worn it every day.
Yeah,
he cares for, or he cared this weekend for our neighbor's animals, and they are not rolling with Jesus, and he just wore the hat over there to go get his pay, and we prayed for him, like, but Lord, let this put a stone in their shoe, or he was just like, I love Jesus, you know, like this whole thing, and just,
it's wonderful.
I don't know. So praying for my kids and their opportunities, and to be, it's definitely something I think about more too. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that the Holy Spirit's stirring that in you. Mm. If he's stirring that in me, if he's stirring that in my kids, he's stirring it in our church. Like, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing.
There's something going.
Yeah.
Going around.
Yes, absolutely. It's praise God.
Very inspiring.
So what makes you excited about sharing the gospel, and what makes you nervous about sharing the gospel?
So when I worked at camp, there was a lot more of that. And I worked not this past summer, the two summers before that, where it's an evangelist camp, and there are a few, or there are a lot that would say, oh, I believe in God. But it's not a living faith. It's not something, you know, they go back home and they don't even go to church. I think a lot of kids would just say it because they're there, and, you know, we'd have worship. So there was some witnessing there where we had some girls where they couldn't sleep because they were like, I'm scared of this. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm scared to go to hell. Like, and so kind of, you know, you'd have situations like that where it opens up conversations to talk to them. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's just planting some seeds. I don't know what the Lord used that for, but I guess that kind of pushed me a little bit because I don't know. It's exciting to have people who didn't know the Lord and kind of see them, like something change in them.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that in my own family. Like recently, past few years, my uncle was saved and it was like awesome. A switch. And we went and saw him get baptized and bawling.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just something about seeing that.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. And if I can be someone that the Lord works through to love someone and help them in that, even if it's just one person where you spend your whole life praying for them and being there for them and loving them, it's just one person, like that's still a way that the Lord worked through me. So that's exciting, his work in me. Nervous? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are, you know, anxiety inducing about it. Talking to strangers, you don't know how they're going to react. I mean, we live in a crazy world where our culture is against Christianity, specifically Christianity. And so when you walk into a world like that, there's a lot of people that meet it with not just, I'm not interested in that, but like hatred and like anger and fighting and just harsh things that are make me fearful, you know, like makes me scared of, it doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. And I should be meeting that fear with courage and still stepping to it. But that is something that makes me nervous. Like, you don't know how people will react nowadays. Might not be just that's not for me. It might be something more intense.
Yeah.
So
how does hope impact this activity though for you? Like that has to override it, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know, because my life is not, the purpose of my life is not myself and my wants. It's like, I want the Lord to work through me. Like I want my desires to accord with his desire, like his will for my life. And if his will for my life is that, then I want to do that. Yeah. So I guess, because, you know, he can be fearful of all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But you can't live your life in fear or you're never going to get anywhere. You kind of just have to take that step forward. And that's part of faith, is not letting fear control you and consume you and keeping you back from things. You have to still move forward. Yeah. I don't know.
You can't live in the bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah. You got to get out of that.
Maybe I bubble wrapped something recently. I don't know.
This analogy is on your mind.
Okay, something being watered, Autumn. What are you actively tending, stewarding, praying about? Just read that list. It's so long.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Do it.
Yes, I wrote reliance on the Lord, trusting him in the midst of life's difficulties, but also learning to give up my ways and rely on God's sovereignty. So I'm someone who's a very fearful person, and I want to control my life. I want my life to pan out in a certain way where I'm like, this is what I want. This is what I want. And over time, this is the Lord again humbling me. I've had to learn my plans are not his. My will is not his will for my life. And the sooner I recognize that, the more freeing it is to live my life, because I don't have to live like, if this doesn't pan out how I specifically want it to, then my life is over. Like, no, the Lord is faithful through all of it. And there have been a lot of things in my life. Like, I did not think I would be here at this time 5-10 years ago. I thought I'd be somewhere completely different. But I'm so thankful for where he's taken me. He has been faithful through all of life's difficulties, through all of the challenges. And so I see that pattern in my life of him being faithful. And there's no reason for me to believe that he wouldn't be for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so, but that's something you have to actively think upon. Because if you don't, then the fear will consume you. The wanting to control your life and be, again, it's everyone has this desire of being God, where you want to be in control instead of having God in control of your life. So giving that up and being intentional about, it's okay. Like whatever happens, whatever the outcome is, he is in control and he's faithful through this. And that's hard. It's hard when problems and challenges arise.
So are you admitting that you've had that tantrum before? I forget how you did it, but you're like, your hand went up and down.
If this doesn't pan out, my life is ruined. I feel like it builds where I want it to be this way. I want it to be this way. But when I see it's not going to be that way, I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that way. So
yeah,
that building, I'm like, it has to be this way. It has to be this way. Then once I realize, no, it's not going to be this way, I'm like, okay, what's going to happen next? What is God doing right now? What is, I don't know what he's doing. But what is going to happen? So I don't know. Once it, I guess the letdown of that thing not happening, my expectations not happening, then I'm like, okay, well, it didn't happen. What's going to happen next? But I guess the working your way up to that point, I can be more that way. Yeah. Which again, this is something I'm working on, trying to get better at just giving it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're almost talking about anti-action, kind of back to your point, but instead of just asserting yourself, walking more humbly in through your life.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like anti-action a little bit when you said that you had to trust first.
Yeah, I mean,
or back down a little bit, maybe.
I think kind of, because there's obviously you still have to like take action and do things. You can't just sit and do nothing and wait for something to come. Part of faith is you take that step, and then if it was the wrong step, you'll know, and you still got to take another step. It just might be in a different direction. So yeah, I mean, it's not a, I guess a, I'm not acting. It's a,
so maybe
not making my steps the, this is it. These steps are all there is to it. Like, right. No.
That makes sense. What's number two?
Number two. Yeah, this is something that has been a good trajectory. I've gone up on this, but being quick to forgive and quick to show grace and quick to move on. There have been many seasons in my life where I was not gracious and I did not forgive easily. Or if I said I forgave, there was still bitterness rooting in my heart. And that would, I mean, it's not true forgiveness if you're just sitting and being bitter towards people. And that's something I've struggled with.
No, I'm just kidding.
What?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep. Hate to bring it to you.
You mean it's all gotta go?
It does, yeah. And that's something it's I've had to come to the realization of, like, no, you can't just live in bitterness. You still have, like, forgiveness is letting these things go and move on from them, not holding an account of all the wrong things that have happened to you. But yeah, I want to always grow in that. And I think it would be arrogant to be like, I've reached the point where I always am gracious to everyone and forgive perfectly, because I never will. So I always want to grow in just being good at loving, being saturated in love, and then giving grace to those around me and forgiving easily, not letting it take root in my heart and cause, you know, a nasty weed of bitterness to grow. Yeah. So
did you see this affecting others more or yourself more? Or both? I mean, were you just like, whoa, this
both,
is really shaping me?
Because when you're bitter, it comes out. And I mean, what's in your heart comes out through your speech. So if I'm bitter towards someone, then that's going to come out in the way that I talk to them and how I see them. So obviously that affects your relationship with a person if you're bitter with them. But also affects me because, like, it's, again, it's a weed. It's like, it's rotting you from the inside out. You can't let it control you. So both. Yeah.
So as you're watering this and learning to do it, are you finding that you're able to quickly do this, or is it something where maybe some time passes still for you and you're like, okay, I need to deal with this? Or are you like more snapping on it?
It's faster than it was.
Yeah.
Like it used to be months and maybe even years of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can kind of let it go more than I could. That doesn't mean I won't have time where I'm bitter, but I can kind of recognize that it's bitterness and say, no, I don't want that to root inside of me. It doesn't mean that's like, you know, I'm still bitter at times and I still have that happening. I just have to be intentional about seeing that it's a problem, seeing that it is bitterness.
It's a category for you.
Yeah, now. Right. Yeah. Like, you can't, if you don't know that sin is sin, how are you supposed to fight it? If you don't know what you're doing is wrong, if it's sinful, how do you start battling that inside of you?
Yeah.
So seeing, oh, that's bitterness, I need to fight that. And then actively taking steps. No, like when I see it coming up in my mind, like thoughts like, oh, that person did this and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, no, have grace with them. They didn't mean that. Or you don't know their thoughts. You don't know what's going on in their life. Yeah. Do you need to let it affect you at this point? No, you don't. Just kind of like preaching the gospel to yourself, talking, you know.
Yeah.
Because you have to do that sometimes. But that's what I'm, you know, working on that.
Number three.
Or four or five,
wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Yes. I talked about it a little bit. But like, again, avoiding bitterness. And harsh judgment, learning to show love to those around me. Like I said, like being saturated in love, I'm trying to see what it looks like to be loving and to have love overflowing inside of me. Because you see that in scripture everywhere. Mm-hmm. It says the greatest of these is love. Like we talked about love on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so beautiful, very convicting and good sermon. Where like love should be, our life should be saturated with it. How do we do that? Yeah, so just kind of thinking about and praying about how that happens. And after that, I talked about how I can grow in skill in this season of life. So what skills do I want to maybe pursue and take on a little bit? And how can I do that? So that's something I've been thinking about recently. Like, what do I really want to learn? And that's, again, not even, that can just be like cooking or art or something. Like, how do I grow in this type of skill?
So, yeah. It sounds like you're just thinking about practical wisdom.
Yeah, like practical stuff. How do I grow this stuff? Yeah, right, exactly.
Is it kind of generalized or is there a particular aim in these skills?
In the skills.
Or is it just like general direction of being a godly woman, like something like that?
Yeah, but there are some specifics. Like, again, I want to be, I mean, I like to cook and I know how to cook, but I want to have more of the, I guess, the knowledge of, oh, this is how this works with this. And this is how you pair this spice with this. And just having that, I can look in the fridge and see what's in the fridge and be like, I can make something out of that. Just having that skill set is something that's so good. Where, you know, maybe you don't meal plan for the whole week. You don't have a plan for dinner. And you kind of just have to figure out what's in your fridge, what you can make. Mm-hmm. And if you have more knowledge on what works together and how things affect other things in terms of even the science behind it, that can just, it's something that's helpful. So that's something I'd want to grow in. Again, I talked a little bit about just basic health, like knowledge, knowing maybe I don't have to take, just if I have that, then I don't always have to take my kids to the doctor or maybe even myself. Like I can kind of diagnose, this is going on, it's okay. Because not everything is an emergency. But if you don't have that knowledge, especially as a parent or a young parent, you're like, everything feels like an emergency.
Yeah.
So that those are two things that come to mind right now that I'd like to grow in.
Well, it reminds me of that cart, that the picture your mom sent to you that you looked at. It's like you had it out and available, and skills are things you have to like repeat to grow in. And so that just reminds me of what you already did in that area of your life, which is probably why your room is so lovely or things you make are so lovely, because you... you're making that available to you to like keep practicing, to keep applying yourself, to keep doing it. And it takes effort.
Which I'm not great at any of those things particularly. I'm always growing in it.
I don't know if you would want to do this, but one thing that popped into my head for my kids this year is we got a really good anatomy book that I have to, what's the word?
Look through.
Yeah, I'm like, only mom turns the pages.
Yeah, pretty
but much. They're just drawing it so that, like, did you know that that tendon was right there? And they're honestly, it's not like it's really sinking in deep, but I'm giving them a first layer. And I literally said to my girls, like, you are going to be caring for people someday in your home.
Right.
And you should probably know this is what is under the skin of your foot. Like when your kids, you
that
know.
That is true.
And so maybe if you have time at night, like one easy way, if you don't have time for a class, is just start drawing the body. I don't know.
I didn't think about that. No, I mean, that's definitely valid. Because, you know, if you get a cut, is it like near some, you know, organ or something that could make you bleed out? Or is it just,
you could do
it's
it.
Okay, it's a little cut. Yeah, something.
In a lot of situations and just start to get to know it that way. I don't know.
It's true.
Just a little idea. Okay. So your skills. And lastly, you talked about service again.
Yeah, just how I can do that practically. I love to host, but again, I don't have a big space to be able to do that.
Okay.
So hosting is something I thoroughly enjoy.
Do you mean in your bedroom? What do you mean?
I don't have like a space I can host. But I mean, my parents let me use their house for hosting. So it's just not my own space. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still, I have to be very aware, obviously, of everyone else's schedules and what they have going on. Whereas if you have your own home or your own place, it's, you kind of run the home, you know what the schedule, you can work your way around that. So I don't know, just trying to figure out practical ways I can host where I am right now and where I live right now. Because I do really enjoy hosting. It's something I love to do.
So how do you put order to these things? There's a lot on your plate, clearly, and on your mind. So how do you prioritize, like, Lord, grow me? Are you just like, everywhere, everything needs an overhaul, or just certain things just like, okay, focus me a little bit. And maybe some of these are actually less right now for you.
Reliance is a big thing.
Yeah.
Because right now, you know, different things I'm going through that are definitely the more internal mental stuff where it's just a lot on my mind. And so the reliance is really important right now, that I give up my expectations or my desires, and I trust him with them, and I give up my desire to want to be in control of everything. I give, you know, because I'm not strong in everything. If I was to rely on my own strength, I would fail in everything. So yeah. I need to rely on the Lord's strength. So that's probably the biggest one right now, I would say. The other ones I want, obviously, but that's a highlight, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Next section is training and or pruning. What in your life doesn't feel good right now, but is good?
Again, the trusting God's sovereignty, and I wrote specifically like giving up my tight hold of the future in my life and learning to trust God and his plans and that he works it all for good. Yeah. So similar to the last question, just it does not feel good because you want certain things, and when you have to give those up, it's not an easy thing. So I wrote it down for both of them because it is something that doesn't feel great, but it's ultimately very good for me to learn to take that out, weed that out.
Yep. So how do you remind yourself of God's goodness?
Again, looking back on my life of how he's been faithful, how he's been faithful in scripture, meditating on those things, that's been a really good reminder of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever had a moment where I'm like, he's not in control, or I don't trust him fully. It's just an over-reliance on my own desires or wants. But no, I know I've always known he's there and that he's in control.
So what happens with your hands? Because you said you brought your hands into the imagination and you said you're gripping. So then how do you see your hands being trained to do something different? Like, what is the visual there? Or, yeah.
This sounds so silly. The first thing I think of.
Jazz hands?
No. I used to be terrified of roller coasters.
Okay.
Absolutely hated them. And it sounds silly. But whenever I'd go on a roller coaster, I'd sit there gripped so tightly. Like, my hands would physically hurt afterwards because I'm holding on so tightly because I'm like, oh, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I just terrified out of my mind. Yeah. But this second I went on it and put, like, I, you know, because I went on, like, one when I was a kid and I was traumatized. And I went back when I was older. And the second I, like, just kind of let go and eased into it, I was like, okay. I'm just like, I'm okay. And then after that moment, I absolutely love them now, and I go on them.
No way.
Yes, I love them.
Whoa.
But just going through that, where I had to face that fear, and I had to get over literally the hill of the roller coaster. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is not as bad as I thought. I actually love this. This is so great. It's kind of similar to that. Like, you're holding on so tight because you think it's going to be so terrible, and you're like, I'm so scared, and I'm not going to make it. And then once you get over the hill, you're like, wait, I'm fine. I actually love this. This is great. And so I think it's similar, where I'm holding on so tightly to what I want, but what he has in plan for me, what he has in store for me, is so much better. Yep. If I just let go of everything I want and everything that I'm trying to do and just give it to him and trust what he's doing, I'm going to love it. I know that it's so much better. Mm-hmm. And it's not this, what I think it is in my mind, the magnitude that I put out, or the fear that's surrounded.
There are so many layers to what you just shared. One of them being, I thought, really significant that you said there was a period of time where you actually didn't go on the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
There was a period of time where you were maturing, and maybe you didn't even know how much that God was doing in you, such that when you positioned yourself to experience something that required trust, you had been matured. You were ready.
Yeah.
And you didn't actually know that you were going to be okay when you lifted your hands.
Right. You don't. You're like, this feels, you literally have to completely trust.
Yeah.
Because again, if something's wrong, like, you're not making it out of there. You can't do anything. If you try to hold on, you're still gone. Because again, it's the power of the, So you have to completely trust. And it sounds so silly.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, you have to completely trust the mechanisms that you're safe in that seat.
But also to bring just back that hope word, the hope in God's promises that he will do what he promises to do in you. And so you don't have control or ownership over his work in your life. Mm. And you, but you have hope and expectation that he is.
Right.
And so whether or not you were thinking about it, that can come more into your consciousness, but all Christians can have that hope and assurance. And so we can position ourselves in those scary places and trust him.
Yeah.
And not avoid those scary places because we have an expectation and a hope of his work in our lives. Really cool. I'm going to think about that. Okay. You said you've been put in challenging situations so that you can grow in virtues. Have you felt like you are being pruned? Like the pruning is like for better growth. Like he cutting stuff away.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think about patience.
Okay.
Which I'll talk about that in the next one a little bit more. Okay. But just, again, I can tend to rush things, or I am a go-getter. So like, you know, sometimes even my work ethic, like how when I work, I want to do like really fast and get everything done, like because I just want to get it done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and especially when you're working with kids and the work that I'm doing now, you cannot rush it. Like you have to slow yourself down.
Yes.
Because kids do not go at the same pace as you, and you don't need to make them go at the same pace as you. You can be patient with them, and they are learning, and they're learning slowly.
Yeah.
And that's okay because they're not going to grasp everything, and they're not going to grasp it quickly. Yeah. So patience is, you need a lot of patience, which I often see myself fail at that, where I'm not being patient how I want, or I'm very easily frustrated, and I want to grow in that, where I'm not frustrated by these little things. I don't let them make me frustrated or worked up. I can just be okay and patient with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is a hard situation with a kid or at work in general, but I can just say, it's okay. There's no need to fuss.
Yeah.
The fussing is not necessary.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. I don't know. For some reason, like the garden analogy also makes one think of seasons and the Bible and just all of these things that God loves to talk about, the imagery that he uses in scripture. Do you ever think about seasons in your life, even just as related to like the cutting away, which would be the pruning or the hard work of training? Like what's the mood in your overall life? Like right now, October 2025, do you feel like, I don't know, there's so many ways that people can look at seasons. You can look at winter as the time of like maybe deadness, or you can look at the time of like bundling up and hunkering down and focusing more tightly and intimately, maybe. I don't know. There's different ways you can look at it, but however you want to go with it.
If I think of the plant analogy, there are some plants where they have a strong root system, but maybe there's not a lot of blossoms right now. Like it's not, I don't know. I feel like I feel secure in my relationship with the Lord. I feel grounded in him. So I don't feel like I'm going to be blown away by the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord willing, I'm not. I wouldn't be. And of course, I'm still always growing and strengthening that. But I do have like a confidence in who I am in Christ, and more so than I have in previous years. So I don't know. I feel like I'm sturdy in that, but there's still a lot, you know, to grow in. There's still, I need to grow bigger and stronger and, you know, little blossoms. If you think about like a flower or something or a tree, maybe, because you'll see little baby trees and a wind is not going to blow them over, but they don't have like these strong branches yet. They don't have fruit on their branches yet. And I don't know. That's something I kind of think about because I'm so young. I still think there's a long way to go, but I think there's a good foundation and an ever-growing foundation for that. Yeah. Or root system, if you want to use that.
Yeah. I want to use that. Yes.
Yeah, so ever-growing root system.
Definitely. Okay. So you're going to go to weeding now, and you're going to bring in patience, or rather impatience, and a few other things. If you want to, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. I think there has been a common theme throughout my life of, again, just being very fearful. Something that always comes up. It's something.
Are you talking about since little?
Yep.
Okay.
It's something I remember struggling with when I was very young.
Okay.
And obviously when I was young, it played out in more material things. Like, I was scared of spiders, but I also had a season. Speaking of spiders,
no
look
way.
At
where?
It right there.
No, where?
No, look right here next to my face. No, look right there.
Oh,
he just crawled down right now.
Can you take these off?
That is so funny. Oh, he's right there.
Okay, I'm only doing this for you. Otherwise, I'd call my...
What if you knock him off?
Okay. I don't know actually what to do. What would you do?
Oh,
grab
gosh.
A string? Would you grab
Hold
a
on.
String?
Let me see.
Miss Muffet? Muppet? Whatever. Whoever you are. Okay.
Okay, we got it. Thank you. I hope he doesn't crawl on your hand.
Well, hello there.
He clearly just showed up.
You.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
That was so crazy. So are you talking about when you were little?
Yeah, well, when I was little, yeah. But I also had a season where I was a little bit older, but still a little girl, where I struggled a lot with the fear of, like, demons and demon possession. Okay. And that was a very real, gripping fear in my life where, like, I couldn't sleep at night. And, I mean, if we talk about trusting God and relying on Him, I feel like He's taught me very early on to do that. And that was the first instance that I can think of. Because in those moments, I was so gripped by fear. The only thing I could do was call out and say, Lord, please comfort me. Please bring me through this and help me not to be fearful of this. Help me know that I'm a daughter of You. Like, so I remember being really young and praying that. And the only thing that would help me sleep at night, because it only arise at night.
Yeah.
When everything was dark, I'd be so, like, gripped by this fear. The only thing that would get me through that was calling out to the Lord and praying. And so it taught me, like, the only thing that would get me through it is just praying. And I would just pray and pray and pray and pray until I fell asleep. And I did that for years. And honestly, I still do that now. Like,
yeah.
It's just something I've done for so long. Before I go to bed every night, I pray and then I fall asleep. And I just, honestly, it sounds silly, but the times where I haven't prayed before I've gone to bed, I don't sleep well. Or it takes me a long time to fall asleep.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of instances where I didn't pray and I tried and it would take me a long time. And then the second I prayed, I fell asleep.
Mm.
And it's so weird, but so fear has been something that's been very a pattern in my life. And it's still in my life now. I feel like it's going to be a lifelong battle, but I know that I've grown in strength. It's just still there. It just presents itself in different ways now than it did when I was younger. So trying to not let that fear again, suffocate me and control me where, again, I can be free of it and trust God, not let it, again, play into every aspect of my life. Because sometimes you can't control how you're feeling. Like, if you're feeling fearful in a moment or in a situation, you can't necessarily just make that go away,
mm-hmm.
but you can still face whatever situation you're going into with courage, and that's being faithful through that. Or even if you're feeling scared in a moment, still, like, taking that step forward and pushing forward is an act of faith.
Yeah.
So I try to be intentional about that, where maybe I can't make that like feeling of fear go away. I can still be courageous and move forward
yeah.
while feeling fearful. Yeah.
Satan, all he has in his tool belt is like lies and deception. Fear play is that.
Yeah.
Like
praying
on that. I'd just be curious, if have you ever asked your parents, like, is this kind of a generational grip in our family? I just
honestly
wonder,
maybe.
And maybe you're contending.
Honestly, that's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I do see that in many of the women in my family. So could be.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
And just that's something I can't even remember how long ago, but that kind of came into Ryan and I's mind more of like, okay, I'm not just dealing with just me and my sin and the attacks against me here. Like, this is something that's gripped my family and Lord.
Oh, yeah. I think generational sin is a real
thing.
Yeah,
break this chain. And maybe it's the way that it happens. Sometimes it's like just less and less through the generations.
Right.
But it's just something to consider, you know.
That's true. I haven't thought about that before.
I don't know. It just popped in my head. Especially when you brought in like such clear attacks, demonic stuff, you know.
Yeah, I was just scared of it. And
yeah.
I don't know where it came from. I don't have like a moment where I saw something scary.
Yeah.
It was just this like irrational fear of it. mm-hmm. of just demons and demon possession. And again, it was something so prevalent in my life. I just remember it being strongly there. I was just like, I don't, and I didn't know what to do so young. So I just reached out to the Lord, like, help me through this. And yeah.
Praise God. Do you see any of the patience part? Is there like a Martha Mary situation in here? I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like the worker versus uh-huh. sit at Jesus' feet. Do you uh-huh. see yourself transitioning from Miss Busy to sitting at the Lord's feet? You talked about like opening God's word more and that being a growing desire. That's the one thing you would tell yourself if you could tell your mm-hmm. younger self. I'm not even saying that Martha was the bad character or anything mm-hmm. like that, but just curious.
Kind of being more intentional to like be in his word and slow yes. down a little bit.
So yes.
I think that's something over the past 2 years that's been more prevalent because, again, with the nature of my work, it is like go, 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 because there's so much going on. And it's like mm-hmm. long, long days. Yeah, so I think that's something he's teaching me this past year or so. Like, you've been just going, going, going. Just slow down a little bit. It's okay. Yeah. Like, you can take the, like, and, you know, that even plays out. Don't rush Bible reading. Don't mm-hmm. just try to get through it. Don't rush this moment where you're having a good conversation with someone and it's fruitful and it's edifying about the Lord and it's serious. Like, don't rush these moments. Mm-hmm. Let them play out.
Yeah.
Be in the moment with them. Don't try to just move fast through everything. Because sometimes, I mean, I go so quickly through everything. There'll be times like where I'm in a moment that I just love and I'm like, all I can think about is this is going to be over. This is going to be over so soon. I'm like, no, right. I don't want to be thinking about this the whole time that I'm in this moment. I just want to be in the moment and enjoy it. I don't want to just think about how it's going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been thinking about recently. It's like, just enjoy
this sometimes moment. If you even do that, it, especially if you are a type of person or you're in a season where you do have demands on you through a car much, that because you actually slowed down in certain moments and savored them, mm-hmm. that carries through
mm-hmm.
the times because you can't just,
oh yeah,
you know,
you can't slow down everything.
Mary couldn't live at Jesus' right. feet. She actually, oh, yeah. she didn't live there,
exactly.
you know? I'm reminded of something Sam Taylor told me, I think it was last Friday anyways. We meet at Maymont, a lot of women, and anyone is welcome, any lady is welcome to come to Maymont Fridays. Ask Annie Bowers about it. Anyways, Sam, there is, we sit now this season near this walnut tree. It's kind of nasty. When they're falling, I mean, to the point where I'm like, this looks like doo-doo to me. I don't know why we have to sit by it. It's so gross. That's just where I'm at. But anyways, you know, you lay your blanket down and then you just forget about it. But Sam was saying she took one of the walnuts home that fell on the ground. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
And she did really, really hard work to get it open. And she said it was like the finest liquor.
Really?
She,
oh
yes.
Oh my word.
She was like, I could probably only have one a year because it was so. Isn't that a.
Did she eat it?
I did the same thing. I was just kind of laughing and my eyes were like big as saucers. She ate it. I'm sure she researched like, is this okay? Is this safe?
I was about to say.
But she just said it was so stinking good. And when you said. I don't know. Did anyone say savor? Maybe I just thought of savoring. But it was so good
yeah.
that could last her a year. Like the right. the knowledge, the experience, wow. the potent time. And it just reminded me of what you're thinking about. So you're not talking about like the antithesis of like, kind of like you said when I said, are you talking about anti, what did I say? Anti-action?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like no action, action. But it's just what you said. Recognizing where you are, what you're doing, what that there's more going on here, savoring it, and it can last and carry through those go, go, go.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know. That right. walnut thing that I was like, I kept saying, like, what?
This makes me so curious.
Are you serious?
I'm going to go get a walnut.
Give me one of those things. I don't know. It looks like doo doo to me, but you know.
Yeah, 100%. That is so funny.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Maymont walnuts, y'all.
I'm going to get one.
Yeah, go get one.
Yeah.
What else you got here?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. The other very common theme, I think. There's plenty of them. I mean, I see. One thing, actually, I've prayed for the past few years, or maybe the past year especially, is that the Lord would open my eyes to my sins so that I can actively see them. so that I can fight them. Just like, Lord, show me, convict me of my sinfulness. So I feel like, yeah, he's done that where I can see it in myself. And I was praying for that for a while. And then he started revealing it to me. And I was like, now please help me fight these sins. Now that I see them, please help me. One of them, and I recently, I don't know, I've known about it, but it's been more in my face recently. I was convicted. I was at college night, and Pastor James said something that I very much related to, where he was just talking about his life and how he's had a very hard time relying on others, and he had to, again, do that. And that was so important. And that was one of the conversations at college night. And so that conversation of like him saying that was really convicting to me, to a point where like I went to him afterwards and like, you know, I talked to him about things that were going on in my life I was struggling with, because I do have a very hard time relying on other people, where I go to them because I don't want to burden other people. I think there's two reasons. One of them is like, I feel bad and don't want to burden other people with my issues. But at the same time, I also don't want it to make me seem weak. Like, I want to be strong in all of these things. I want to be steady in all of this. And when I rely on my own strength, again, I fail. And every time I've tried to just rely on my strength, I fail. And the Lord's had to show me that. So yeah, that's something, again, I'm always growing in, where he brings me to the point where I need to rely on those around me and give up myself in trying to do it all. And again, and so now it's like I actually go to others first. Instead of getting to the point where I'm so low, I have to go to others, I'm like, okay, let me just go to these people that he's placed in my life. Let me go to him and to the people in my life and ask for wisdom and guidance and anything in this situation, in this hard time, before all of it happens where I try to handle it by myself. Let me just go ahead and do that and take the initiative to do that. And that's been so beneficial. So, but again, it's still something I'm working on now. It's still something I'm trying to get better at. It's a common theme in my life. Fear, and then again, not relying on others. So just the importance of relying on your brothers and sisters in Christ, because God has put them there for a reason. But
I think what you were just sharing is that you had to recognize it and then confess it, right?
Yeah.
That was important.
Oh, yeah. Very much.
Because what if you didn't confess it? What would be the implication of that, of just recognizing it? And then being like, God, help me. What if you...
Well, because if I just recognize, that doesn't mean I know that it's wrong. It just means that I see it. But like, I still have to know that is an issue. That's not something that can continue. It's not a virtue. It's not something I should be striving for. It's actually something that I need to root out of my life. And I have to see it from that perspective. Because acknowledging that it is wrong doesn't mean I believe it's wrong. And kind of confessing, repenting of it is... you know, acknowledging this is wrong and believing this is wrong and taking steps to actively push against it. And again, war with your flesh. And yeah, that's what I...
Last section. You ready?
I think I am.
Okay. These are your harvest. Answered prayers. Hallelujah. God's faithfulness.
Oh, yes.
Victories. And his grace that shows up every day. What do you have in this section?
There's so much. Yeah. I wrote about, I said, recently what comes to mind is a stronger involvement with the church community. I think that over, again, the past, like, there's been so much happening the past just 2 years in my life where I just have more relationships, intentional relationships that I've sought after, where it's not just, you know me because you know my parents or something. It's, you know me because you know me, because I met you at this and I just talked to you at this. And so, I don't know, just a deeper involvement in that, going to a community group on my own, being a part of NCA, working in church, serving in church nurseries, and, you know, loving the people around me and just getting to know them, where, you know, you go out and hang out with people from the church, and that's what you do, and you go to events or things hosted and have good, deep discussions with people. That's something that's been very prevalent this past few years, and I've seen that, where he's just richly blessed me, where every week I feel like I see more and more of our church community. I'm just like, praise him for it, because it's so beautiful. And just seeing all of these people that are so faithful where they are, like all of these families, like these husbands and wives and children, they just love the Lord deeply. And you see that in every aspect of our church. And it's been such a blessing to just see that play out, or I look at everyone, I can just take a step back and see it all. And like, this is beautiful. Yeah. Like, God is moving here and it is beautiful. Even just stuff with like you guys and Maidmakers and everything going on, just seeing how he's working in everyone's lives, it's just beautiful to me. And I've seen that more as I've been involved with the community. So that's been a huge blessing of he's just doing so much.
Yeah, and even in your family too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My brother getting married.
Right. Immediate.
All sorts of things. It's just beautiful. Yeah. Work that I love and enjoy. That's actually a work that's serving and blessing others. I want my, again, if I can work in a place and get paid to, you know, serve and bless, that's ideal. My work isn't just serving myself, where I can actually give to others through it. That's something that I'm very thankful that he's given me. So even opening, and I'll tell you a story. So all of my positions, like for nannying and whatnot, have all been from God. So I've been nannying for over a year. So not this past summer, the summer before, I came back from camp. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't know where I was going to work. I had no idea. And this is a moment where I was just like...
You being a counselor.
Yep.
I was a counselor at camp. Not just going to
camp. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Working at camp. Yeah. I was a counselor. When I came back from working, I didn't know it was going to happen. I was just praying. I was like, Lord, I don't know what this season is going to look like. I don't know what this next year is going to look like. Just, I pray that you will provide me with work and with something this season. And it literally, the week I came back from camp... I think it was the Friday I came back. I had work that Saturday or something crazy. Wow. It was like, I came back and then a few days later I had work and I was with a family in my church who needed help nannying for a season. And then I worked with them all through the next month. And then during that next month, I had two more families reach out to me asking for full-time work for the year. Mm. And so I worked out with them and literally the times worked out perfectly so that I could have my entire week, like, again, the shift literally ended right before the next person wanted,
right,
you know, the shift to start. So I, like, in that moment, all I could think was, like, thank the Lord. Like, this is only from God. Because I didn't do anything to get any of this work. Like, he just sent that work to me so that I could bless these families. But he also blessed me in that because I didn't know what I was going to do in that season. He's like, no, this is where you're going to work.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do. So that was a huge, tremendous blessing for me. And he's done the same this year, providing me with NCA and still having the opportunities to nanny. It's just been a great blessing. And it's all from God. So yeah. I've seen that. We're just, the work that I do is all from him. So I also try to remind myself of that too when I get in moments of complaining or grumbling, like, no, this is all a blessing from God that he's poured into my life. So I've seen that. There's I wrote a stronger understanding of his word and a greater/growing desire to understand it. Yeah, so I think that this past, again, the past few years, something going on. This desire in me to understand the scripture has just been growing and growing. Where, like, I feel like there's so much that's been revealed to me, even in just sermon series in our church and conversations with others and community group discussion, like, things I have never thought about before in terms of scripture has been placed in front of me. I'm like, oh, I never thought about this story before, or God's faithfulness through that, or covenants, or, like, there's been so much. Just an overload of it the past, again, few years, more so than I've seen other times in my life. I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know, convicting things or things I've never meditated on. Mm-hmm. They've just poured into my life. So that's definitely something. Yeah, strength in the midst of hardship and fear. I can see that he's growing me and strengthening me in these things. It's something I praise him for, that he's, again, I can see it's not I'm getting weaker and weaker now. I can see myself growing in it. Mm-hmm. And that's a blessing that I'm growing in it. So definitely that. Yeah, a stronger security in my identity in him. Just knowing that I am the Lord's, and no matter what happens in life, I'm still belong to him, and I can move through life with that security. I don't have to be swaying back and forth. Like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what the goal of my life is. I don't know what to do with my life. Like, I know my purpose on earth is to glorify and honor him in word and deed and everything. And so kind of having that is, yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay, you made me put what you just said now, your identity coupled with that strength, because now I'm thinking of your roller coaster. And you said he's strengthening me. And the kids and I have been singing Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength. He's my strength.
Yeah.
So when you're saying he's strengthening me, what you're fusing yourself with him, which is we're supposed to do.
It's not my own strength.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, but you literally are. So you're talking about yourself, but I know what you mean. Right. I know that you're actually talking about him.
Right.
You're talking about that cart. You're talking about being so strong that your hands are up.
Mm.
Like you're so secure. It's just kind of like I was talking about with friendship. God, what's your definition of this?
Right.
What's your definition of strength?
Right.
It actually is my hands up. Like what? You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
So secure in his cart, in his whatever the, are they called carts? I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Because it doesn't come from me.
Yeah. And that only happens when you know your identity is him.
Right.
He's so strong that you just said before me, I'm so strong. But you didn't mean like that.
No, right.
That's not what you meant.
Yeah.
And so it's just like redefining.
Right. It's his strength.
Yeah.
Again, if it was my strength, I would fail.
But you get to say it's your strength.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing when your identity is strongly secure in him because you literally can claim it. That's what Ephesians says.
Yeah.
You get to claim it. It's all yours. It's all been given to you lavishly. So it's amazing.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
It is.
Help me, Lord, live in that deep down, you know?
Yeah. And again, still growing in that too.
Yeah.
We always are in everything.
Same.
I don't have it perfectly down. But it's the trajectory upwards is the goal.
Yeah, me neither. But that's why meditating on scripture and savoring it and like spending the time to actually do what you said you're doing is like really think more about what it says and just, I do a terrible job. But got to start somewhere.
Sanctification. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying like that's all of us. We're never going to be perfect in it. But if we're growing, again, upwards, if it's a trajectory of getting better at that, that's sanctification. It's providence.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so you have another thing here.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in my life. There's a lot. But the last thing I did note was just seeing beauty in small moments. Yeah, just seeing how beautiful the little things are and being thankful for them. Like him, because you have to have a perspective on it. If you're just rushing through life and not taking time to look at anything, you don't appreciate the small, simple beauties that he's put in front of you. Like, this is lovely. This is beautiful. Look at what he did with this. Like, oh, this, the wind blew right now as I was walking down the road and I was really hot and the wind blew and it was so nice and just felt amazing. Or the weather today was so beautiful and the sun was just perfectly up. So you're not too cold or not too warm. It's just that perfect weather. And, you know, just little things like that. I'm thankful that he's given me the lenses to appreciate those things. It's very easy not to. Mm-hmm. And I want to be someone who's thankful and sees the beauty in all of those things. I want, so like him revealing that to me is a grace to me. And I'm thankful for it.
All right, Autumn, what have you brought to share to close us out tonight?
Okay.
This is something a little more, if you care to use the word intimate, but more personal to you, that it was wide open and you got to choose anything. What did you choose?
Okay, so I'm in Hebrews in my Bible reading plan right now, and I've read this verse or these chapters quite a few times, but every time I read them, they stand out to me, like, can I see in my Bible? there's so many arrows in this.
Page, loved, a loved page.
I think it's so inspiring. It's the chapters in Hebrew where it talks about by faith these saints and these people did this. And I wanted to read Hebrews 11, 32 through 40, and then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So when I hear that passage, it kind of just makes me think about our culture and where we are now, and how easy it is to see the wickedness and corrupt nature of our world and what's around us, and kind of step back in fear and not push forward. But I think right now is the perfect time to step forward with courage. And if we look at the people in scripture, if we look at those before us, they were going through worse things than we are facing now. And yet they still had faith, even to death, to die for the Lord and for this cause. And when we see, again, it said we have this cloud of witnesses. When we see these people that come before us, I think it should spurn us on to push forward and be courageous, even if it means to death. And I think it's so inspiring to see that. And yeah, something that's been on my heart, that even though it seems bad right now, we still serve a God that is mightier than all of what is going on. And we need to give our whole lives and our whole beings to this cause and this purpose, to further his kingdom, so that it can go on for generations and generations. And so, yeah, I wanted to share that. And then I wanted to end on a quote that I read from Elizabeth Elliot. I believe it comes from her book, Secure in the Everlasting Arms. Yeah, she says, "God is God. That was the stunning lesson of that most stunning event in my life. Jim's, my husband's, death required me to deny God or believe him, to trust him or to renounce him. The lesson is the same for all of us. If we believe that God is God, our faith is not a deduction from the facts around us. It is not an instinct. It is not inferred from the happy way things work. Faith is a gift from God, and we must respond to him with a decision. The God of the universe has spoken. We believe what he says, and we will obey. We must make a decision that we will hold in the face of all opposition and apparent contradiction. The powers of hell can never prevail against the soul that takes its stand on God and on his word. This kind of faith overcomes the world. The world of today must be shown, we, you and I, must show them that we love the Father and will do what he says. Letting go of what the world calls safety and surrendering to the Lord is our assurance of fulfillment. Christ knew his Father and offered himself unreservedly into his hands. If we let ourselves be lost for his sake, trusting the same God as Lord of all, we shall find safety where Christ found his, in the bosom of the Father."
Thanks, Adam.
Of course.
Okay, we don't
Thank
know how
you.
To
end this.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.